Number 23 will be the invitation song. Number 23. Back in July of this year, I was in Brookhaven, Mississippi in a meeting. And one day during the day, Brother Kevin Presley took me over to Linwood's house. And we were going through the house. We were in his study. We were looking through his books and looking through his sermons. In fact, I was really looking at the books. And Brother Kevin had all of Linwood's sermons. And he was looking through them and kind of reading off some of the sermon titles. And of course, many of them I had heard. Some of them I had not heard. But he was kind of reading off various sermons. Finally, he said, "Here's one called Good Looks." And I said, "Good looks?" I said, "Let me see that." And so he handed the outline over to me. And I said, "You know what? I am going to get a sermon called Good Looks." I kind of like titles like that anyway. In fact, Diane Smith, Daryl and Diane, are taking care of Linwood's house. And she was there. And there was a copy machine. She said, "I'll make you a copy." And so she made me a copy of the outline. And I told Kevin last night I had this sermon. And I was going to preach it this evening, or at least an abbreviated portion of this sermon called Good Looks. And I told them at that time that I would give credit to whom credit is due. This outline is basically Linwood's outline. Now, of course, like any outline or any sermon that you may appropriate to yourself as a preacher, you make it your own sermon. You add your own ideas and your own illustrations and so forth. But the idea and the outline was basically Linwood. So I want to give credit, as I said, to whom credit is due. Now, you know, this evening, I think we're all interested in good looks. Everybody wants to look as good as they possibly can. Even Michael Jackson. Now, you know, there's no doubt that he didn't think that he would turn out looking, surely. He didn't think he would turn out looking the way that he looked just before he died. A man wouldn't spend all the money that he spent, all the surgeries that he went through, unless he thought he would look better, or at least have the image that he wanted to have for himself. And I want to say something right here. Now, we can snicker, but there are some of us in this audience, if we had Michael Jackson's money, we'd be having some of the surgeries he had too. Now, we don't want to come out looking like he looked. But you know what? We're all interested in good looks and looking good. This is the reason that there are millions and millions of dollars spent on cosmetic surgery and Botox and diets and exercise equipment and so forth, because everybody is interested in looking good. Somebody said that there was a study that came out here a while back that said the reason that, one of the reasons anyway, that in doctor's offices, in the waiting room, there are mirrors. You ever notice that sometimes you go into a doctor's office, there's mirrors on every wall? Because they've learned that if they'll put those mirrors up, people won't get as impatient. They can look at themselves. And everybody likes to look at themselves. And so if you can look at yourself, you won't get as impatient as you otherwise would. So we're all interested in looking as good as we possibly can. However, tonight, as I'm sure you've already guessed, I don't want to talk about looking good in that way. Not about good looks, not about how we look, but about what we look at. There are some things that we should be looking at, as Brother Billy has already alluded to, and these are good things. In fact, I thought about renaming this sermon. I may do that. We preachers do that sometimes. And I thought about renaming this sermon, keeping our good looks, or maintaining our good looks. There are some good looks we need to keep, and we need to maintain. These are good looks. Now, let me say this just real quickly. Now, I don't have time really to develop this. And this was not a part of Linwood's sermon, but I got to thinking, you know what? Not only are there some good looks we need to keep and maintain, but there are some bad looks. And we can read about bad looks in the Word of God. David was up on the rooftop, and there was that woman over there bathing herself. And the Bible says he looked, but he didn't just look once. He looked, and he looked, and he looked, and he kept looking. And of course, he lusted, and he sinned. And so there are some bad looks. The Bible said Noah got drunk, and he was naked in his tent, drunk and naked, laying on his bed. And his son Ham came in and looked, the Bible says, on the nakedness of his father. I don't believe that means he just sort of glanced over there. He looked and he leered, and he made fun of his father. Now, the other two boys, when they found out the pitiful condition their father was in, they took a garment and they went backwards. They wouldn't look. And they covered him up. When Noah woke up, you remember, and realized what his son Ham had done, he cursed him. And of course, his son, Ham's son, was Canaan. And so he cursed Canaan, cursed the children of Canaan because of a bad look. Now, let me say this. I want to say this real quickly. I think maybe this would be a good sermon too. Bad looks. Sometimes people say, Jerry, do you think it's wrong to read denominational commentaries? No, I don't think so. I have all kinds of denominational commentaries and books written by denominational scholars in my study. I like to look and see what they have to say. But now listen, if you're going to look at denominational commentaries and books written by denominational men, know what you're looking at. Recognize the fact that these people don't believe what we believe, as Brother Doug just said. They don't believe in the plan of salvation. They don't believe in the pattern for the Word of God as we do. Is there anything wrong with reading Max Licato's books or Rick Ashley? Reading some of these books or watching these preachers on television? Well, no, not necessarily. I do it myself sometimes, but know what you're looking at. Recognize the fact that these men don't believe what you believe. They don't believe the Bible is a pattern. So realize what you're looking at and what you're listening to when you're listening to it, because there are bad looks. But now, just briefly, I want to talk about good looks. Good looks. Number one, we need to look up. Brother Billy talked about being in a pit, being on the ground. Where do you look when you're on the ground? Well, where did David look? In Psalms 5 and verse 3, David said, "My voice thou shalt hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up." In Psalms 122 and verse 1, David said, "I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so where do we look? What's a good look? We need to look up to the Lord. When you're down, look up to the Lord. Several years ago, I was in a meeting in San Angelo, Texas. And I went antiquing one day. I like to do that. I went down, there was a flea market downtown, and I was walking through there, and there was a great big painting. Actually, it was a print by Norman Rockwell, a limited edition print that I just fell in love with. But they wanted a little bit more than I wanted to pay, and so I didn't buy it. I went back to the house where I was staying, and I thought about it, and I went back and bought it. It hangs over my desk in my study. The print is a church. In this big print, there's a beautiful cathedral. And down on the street in front of the cathedral, people are walking back and forth like this. They're going this way and that way, and they're walking like this. They've all got their heads down, and they're as depressed, in a recession, as Billy said, as they can possibly be. And then you look up, and there's a marquee on the cathedral, and there's a fellow on a ladder, and he's putting up some letters, and it says, "Lift up your eyes." I love that. And that's what we need. That's a good look. When we're depressed and down, as Brother Billy taught us so very well, we need to look up to the Lord. That's a good look that we need to maintain. Number two, we need to look back. I'm not going to take time to read this passage. You're familiar with it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul says, "Remember that at one time you were strangers and pilgrims from the covenant of promise, without God, without hope in the world. But now are you citizens of the kingdom of God." Paul said, "Remember." Now listen, some people remember their sins. I have been around Christians who reminisce about their sinful life in a boasting way. "Oh, before I was a Christian, I did this and I did that," and they seem to be boasting about their sinful life. No, we don't do that. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ." But we should always remember. We should remember that the Lord saved us from our sins. When we were undone and we were without hope in the world, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to us and we obeyed the gospel. And so that's a good look. And we need to be constantly looking back and remembering where we were and from where the Lord has brought us. Number three, we need to look up, we need to look back, we need to look ahead. We certainly need to look ahead. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me." Now, Paul was looking ahead in that dungeon cell, facing death. as we just heard about. And he said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, Peter puts these two ideas together, looking back and looking ahead. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, patience, godliness, charity, brotherly kindness. He said, if you have these things, then you'll abound to the work of the Lord. But he that does not have these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, we've got to remember that we were purged from our old sins. We've got to look back, but still we look ahead and we add the Christian graces to our lives. We lived in Neosho, Missouri back in the late 80s and early 90s. Now, I grew up in Houston, Texas. Never hardly snowed in Houston, maybe a little flake now and then. The first winter we were in Neosho, we had a 14-inch snow. Oh, we thought that was the greatest thing in the world. We lived right down the road from a golf course. And I had passed by there and I saw there was a hill there. And I saw people were over there sledding down that hill. Now, we had a cheap plastic sled that we had bought. And so I took my kids down there and we joined the crowd and we slid down that hill and it was slick. Well, that night it froze, got down to about zero. So we went back down there the next day, and I mean, it was sure enough slick. In fact, you were flying down that hill. Now, there were some people, they had a really souped up sled that three or four people could get on. And so I asked them, I said, could we borrow that? Me and my son want to sled together. So me and my son, Derek, got on that sled. Now, at first, we were going to lay down. I was going to lay down, he was going to get on top of me. If we'd have done that, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be dead, as you're going to see in just a minute. But we decided maybe we ought to sit down. I sat in front, and Derek got behind me, and somebody wanted to help us. And so they came up and gave us a shove. And man, we were flying down that hill. I was holding on for dear life. You know where I was looking? I was looking right here. But all of a sudden, I looked up, and really what had happened is we'd kind of got off course, and over here was a shed, a wooden shed. And on the other side of that was a runoff, I didn't realize that, from a pond. And I looked up and we were headed right for that shed. Now in retrospect, what we should have done is rolled off. But it was too late, really. In fact, we didn't hit the shed. Thankfully, I wouldn't be here tonight, maybe. But we came close enough that I kind of touched it like that. And we went right by it and went into that pond. There was a big pipe there and I hit my leg on that pond. And they all came running off the hill and they said, you all right? Of course, I had tears in my eyes. And I said, yeah, I'm all right. And I said, I think we ought to go home. By the way, I have not been sledding since that time. And I don't know if I'll do it again. But my point is this. You know what? If we had been looking ahead, we would have seen that shed. And we could have deviated or rolled off or something. But we were looking right here. And when you're not looking ahead, you're going to get in trouble. The devil is still alive. There are pitfalls and dangers ahead on the road of life. And so we got to be looking ahead quickly. We need to look up, look back, look ahead. We need to look around. Here's the problem. We're all looking at ourselves. I'm looking at my problems. You're looking at your problems and your situation. We need to look around. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, love seeks not her own. If we have the love of Christ in our hearts, it's not all about me. It's not all about you, brother. It's about other people as well. In John 4 and verse 35, Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. And so, brethren, let's look around. You got problems. I've got problems. All of the children of God have problems. But let's look around because there are other people that are in need as well. Three more. Let me just hit them real quickly. We need to look within. Now, we're good at looking at everybody else, as we've said, but I need to look inside, and so do you. In 2 John 8, now listen, in 2 John, really in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, John is writing to the brethren, warning them about the Antichrist and about false doctrine and false teachers. He's warning them, beware of these false teachers. Don't accept them into your home and so forth. But he says this in verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Moffat's translation renders that, watch yourselves. You must not lose what you've been working for, but gain your full reward. Can you lose your soul? Can you lose your salvation? You sure can. That's what John was warning them. There are false teachers in the world. Don't be taken away from the truth, but watch yourself so that you don't lose what you've already worked for. You know, sometimes people say, if I know my heart, then I believe everything is right between me and the Lord. But you know what the Bible says? The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. We need to pray every day the prayer David prayed when he said, Lord, search me and try me. Know me and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. My dad, one of his favorite songs, I've heard him sing this song, I don't know how many times through the years, is that great song called An Evening Prayer. You know that great song? It says, if I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in mine own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle word or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. Oh, guide me, love me, and my keeper be, in Jesus' name. We would do well to pray that prayer every evening. That's a good look. We need to maintain that good look. You look at yourself. Look inside yourself and make sure you're where you ought to be. Two more things. We need to look to the Lord for salvation. In Isaiah 45 and verse 22, God said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none beside me. You remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they murmured against the Lord, God sent those fiery serpents in among them and they were dying. And finally they said, Lord, save us. And God told Moses to lift up a serpent made out of metal. And he said, when the people look at that serpent, they will live. Now listen, that serpent was metal. It was innocuous. It was non-poisonous. It couldn't hurt anybody. But it was an image of a poisonous snake. And by looking at the form or the image of a poisonous snake, they were saved from the poison. Jesus told Nicodemus, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And when Jesus was lifted up, he was innocent, holy, sinless. But he was made in the form of sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. And so when we look to the sinless Son of God who bore our sins on that cross, we can be saved. And of course, we understand today it's when we put our faith in him and obey him and do his will and live for him that we receive salvation from the Lord. Lastly, this evening, let us look to the Lord for his return. Now, we don't think about this much anymore. Am I too presumptuous in saying that? When's the last time you heard a sermon about the second coming of the Lord? Have you thought today about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Philippians 3 and verse 20, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body, according to the power whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to Jesus. Look to the Lord through his word. Look for his return. There's another great song that we sing that's been in several of Lynn Wood's books. When clouds of doubt arise, spreading across the skies, travel along with courage, singing a song, be faithful. Jesus will smooth your road, lighten the heavy load. Look on the brighter side. Look on the brighter side, my brother. Shadows will pass away, and your heart will sing with gladness. Trust in the Lord to guide you. He'll keep you every day, and he'll roll away your sadness. When you're bending low, evil's your life betide. Look, look, look. Look on the brighter side. That's a great song. These are some good looks, and we need to keep and maintain our good looks. May the Lord help us to do that in this the rest of this week and the rest of this year. I wonder tonight, as we close this service, if there's somebody here who needs to look to Jesus. I don't mean just look, but look by faith. Look by being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Ronnie told us just a moment ago that 60 years ago tonight, in a meeting like this, he obeyed the gospel. I wonder if there's not a young man or a young lady in this audience, and you've been thinking about obeying the gospel. You know you need to be baptized. You've been thinking about it. Why not tonight? Why not come this evening and look to Jesus? Put your faith in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as the Son of God and be baptized tonight for the remission of sins. Would you do that? Would you walk down one of these aisles and give me your hand and give the Lord your heart? Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you're at a guilty distance from the Lord. You know that you're at a guilty distance from the Lord. You're not where you ought to be. Come home. Look to the Lord. He loves you. Come home. We'll help you in any way we can. We'll pray for you and pray with you this evening as you come back to the Lord. Would you come this evening as we stand and sing this song, Selena?